I saw the warship shooting at the coast. Anyone left in that neighborhood, Israel will assume is a military target and will kill them. It doesn't matter, man, woman, child. And in this bag were the pieces of her son. Her son had been killed by a shell, and she didn't want to leave his body there. So she collected him and carried him until she could get to a safe place to bury her own son. I feel anxiety. I feel my chest tighten because I know the effects that that has. I've seen the buildings destroyed in Gaza. I've seen the rubble.
What led you to Gaza in the middle of the war?
I went to Gaza for personal reasons. I think I was quite a new Muslim. I was like maybe a year and a half, 2 years into Islam. And I figured you can die anywhere. I could die driving in Malaysia easily. There's accidents all the time. But if I was in Gaza, occupying our Muslim land, standing against oppression, this would be like a better place and a better way to die than just living my normal life.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We saw that 80% of our audience, including this video, are not subscribed to our channel. As you know, we are a non-profit organization and advertisements are disabled on our videos. So the only reason we are asking for this is to spread the truth. It may seem like a small act, but inshallah, it may be a means of guidance for many people. Now let's click the subscribe button and let's walk as an eternal passenger.
How was your day in Gaza?
It's very quiet and slow in Gaza. I spent my days exploring Gaza, driving around, getting to know the people there, going to different people's houses. Sometimes we go to the beach, and sometimes we would go to the farms and even go and like pick our own potatoes or go to the lemon crop and then pick lemons from the trees and make homemade lemonade. It feels like you're living in a different time because you're doing everything sort of by hand other than driving around and all that modern things. So I'd spend my time either in central Gaza or in the north. And in the north is very close to like the army training camps for the Palestinian army. So when I was up in that area all day, it would be machine gun fire, RPG practice. It kind of became normal just to hear it all the time because it would be like a pattern. So it wouldn't be sporadic fire. And then you would know that this is the training. So you'd hear some machine gun fire and then an RPG and then some machine gun fire and then an RPG. And it just became normal. When you hear that, you're like, other training. And then it just became something in the background after that. SubhanAllah. You don't have electricity through the day. The electricity starts probably at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night and it goes 8 hours through the night at that time. Now it's like 4 or 3 hours a day. And the water supply, they actually recently bombed one of the most important water purification plants in Gaza in the last war. I think it was 300,000 people were without fresh water, like usable water, and petrol for cooking, petrol for your car. It's all sanctioned and limited by Israel. And so sometimes the gas stations will have no gas for like a week at a time. Everything there is a struggle to get.
What is the event that affected you the most about Palestinians?
The stories that you hear in Gaza are very different than the stories you hear in the news. Those stories, they're things that people should never have to experience in their life. First, the helicopters come and they send little pamphlets that say, "We're coming. Leave your neighborhoods, leave your homes." If they don't listen, they will be killed. If they don't listen, they will be shelled, they will be shot, they will be airstrike. Anyone left in that neighborhood, Israel will assume is a military target and will kill them. It doesn't matter, man, woman, child. So immediately the people in that area, they know, they leave. They pack their whatever they can on their backs and they walk in the streets, whatever time of day or night it is. One night they were walking to the city center, to the other property. They came across a woman carrying a bag. And in this bag were the pieces of her son. Her son had been killed by a shell, I think, and as they were trying to leave. And she didn't want to leave his body there. She didn't want them to do anything to his body. She didn't want to lose his body. Who knows how long the war is going to last. So she collected him and carried him until she could get to a safe place to bury her own son. Before I went to Palestine, I think the thing that really got me was the fact that just because of where I was born, just because of the country that I lived in, I have so much freedom. I could travel to Palestine, and some of my Palestinian friends can never travel to Palestine. Like, the injustice of that sentence, I can't believe it's 2022, and we still live in a world where I can travel to someone else's homeland and they can't, just because I'm from a white Western country. Like, it's appalling that we live in this kind of world.
Have you ever had a moment where you said, okay, it's the end of the story? And how did you feel at that moment?
Like, I'm gonna die. And one night I was staying in the north of Gaza in Beit Lahia. And I was just laying down in bed. I think it was probably close to like midnight. And I heard gunfire that was very different than the normal gunfire I would hear throughout the day. It was very, very constant, and it was very loud, and there were larger bangs as well. I saw a gunship, about Israeli gunship, about 2 kilometers away from me on the coast. I could see the coast from the window, and it was firing onto the coast at some Palestinians. Palestinians were firing back with whatever small guns they had. After I saw the warship shooting at the coast, anytime I would sleep in the north, I would have this fear that, especially because where the bedroom was that I was sleeping in was kind of near like the front of the house by the street. And I felt like, or I was paranoid that a tank would just come down the street, and that would be the wall that the tank would shell. Or that would be the wall that the tank would come through.
Can you compare being a child in London and being a child in Palestine?
The children that I see in Gaza, they're forced to grow up. They're forced to take on responsibilities that my kid does not need to take on. Kids in Gaza with a donkey and a cart and a small oven selling sweet potatoes in the street. I think the children there appreciate and love their families on a different level because they have experienced, whether themselves or their friends, losing family members easily, quickly, losing classmates in school steals their childhood. It steals their innocence.
What was it like to hear the sounds of bombs next to you?
If I see on TV a building getting bombed in Gaza, I don't feel the same as other people do when they see it. Like other people, they, oh, that's terrible. I feel anxiety. I feel my chest tighten because I know the effects that that has. I've seen the buildings destroyed in Gaza. I've seen the rubble.
Why does the world remain silent about children in Palestine?
I think the world has been taught to see children, not only children in Palestine. I think Muslim conflicts in general as a number, as a statistic. There's a very big difference between the way the media reports on a terrorist carried out by a Muslim or a terrorist attack carried out on Muslims. When we report on conflicts happening in the Middle East, Palestine, Syria, China, etc., it's just a number. This many hundred people died today in Palestine. These choices of words are extremely important because when someone dies or is killed, one is deliberate and one is a normality of life, subhanAllah. And so when the world looks at the conflicts in Palestine, all they see is a statistic and a number. They don't see a child who dreamt of being a teacher. They don't see a child who dreamt of being a doctor, who loved his family and had a pet goat and all these, you know, lovely things that make you connect with them on a human level. And this is why I believe the world oversees the conflict and the genocide that's happening in Palestine.
So what can I do when I'm at home?
Open conversations with people who you see oppose Palestine and don't support Palestine. I think in the comments section, you'll find these people on Palestinian posts. There's been times where I've seen people hate Muslims. I've gone to their profile, I've messaged them directly, and I've acted in a way that I believe Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would act, which is a way of peace and understanding and patience. And by doing this, I've had people come back to me and from far right Islamophobic pages that they follow and tell me, I'm so sorry, I was so angry towards you. You were so nice and patient and calm when I was just saying evil things towards you. And I wanted to tell you that since we spoke, I'm now on my far right pages defending Muslims against my own people that I thought were right before. And so I think sitting at home, you can change one person who will change one person who will change one person. It's a chain, subhanAllah.
If you had a chance to call out to all the women who are in Palestine, what would you like to say?
What I would say would be, because of what I've seen of the women in Palestine, I admire their strength now, but I understand their struggle. And, you know, just to keep fighting, because the women of this ummah are the strength of the ummah. We raise the next generations of the ummah. And without their strength, love, compassion, and resilience, then that ummah is going to disappear. So I would ask them to just keep being strong, but know that we hear their struggle and we understand that it's not easy what they have to face every day.